there's no question that the kids have been completely lost in the shuffle during this whole 40-year war.
Suzanne Venker, author of The Flip Side of Feminism, on the impact of feminism on children.
There's no discussion of what children's needs are. You're not even allowed to discuss children's needs because, of course, the engine of the feminist movement is dependent on abortion and daycare. Those are the two things that remove children or babies from the equation so that we can achieve this faux version of equality. And without those two things, they have no movement. So there is no acknowledgement of what children's rights and or needs are in this discussion. It is solely about adult needs.
You can hear and meet Suzanne Venker making the secular case against feminism at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org.
They tell us that one of the benefits of redefining marriage state by state will be monetary. Better revenue. Not only spending of all different kinds when same-sex couples decide to spend their rather considerable disposable income on very expensive weddings in your state, but it'll generate new tax revenue too. In fact, there's report after report in state after state that if they simply redefine marriage in that state, it will be an economic boon. Is it true? Has it proved to be true? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 29th of May. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute joins us to examine some of the economic claims being made by those who are advancing same-sex marriage state by state and the idea that it will bring about economic advancement for the states that adopt it. A little bit later, in about 10 minutes here on Issues Etc., Pastor Tom Eckstein joins us. We're going to talk about Christianity and transgendered issues. That's the T in the LGBTQ acronym that's so often bandied about, transgendered. It's a rather broad category. We'll talk about it with Pastor Eckstein. Then Pastor Charles Lehman joins us in hour two to conclude a four-part weekly series on baptism today. What does baptism mean for you now? Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6900. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or in advance of hour two of Issues Etc., you can go to our Facebook fan page, leave a question or a comment on baptism for Pastor Charles Lehman, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Here are the numbers they're predicting for Illinois. $54 to $103 million in new spending, $8.5 million in new tax revenue. But you say that these predictions are based upon an elementary economic error. What's that error?
Well, the error is they're saying that gay couples are going to spend all this money on weddings, and so that's going to boost the economy. But the fact is that the money that they would spend on weddings is money they would have spent on something else. They might have spent it on new clothes or redecorating their house or buying a new car or going to a ball game or anything that you would spend money on, you know. So there's no new wealth being created by rearranging the labels that you put on people's relationships. So the fact that they're spending more money on flowers for their wedding is less money that they're spending on something else that the household would have spent in any case. So it's a basic economic error to think that you can sort of spend your way into prosperity. It's similar to some of the errors you see in macroeconomics, that you can make the whole economy richer if the government just spends more money. You forget about the fact that that money had to come from someplace. And so that's exactly the error that's being made here. That's the most basic problem with all of these studies. And as you mentioned in the intro, they've done these studies state after state. They do exactly the same study. They look at the number of same-sex couples in that state, make an estimate of how many of them will get married in the first 3 years, and then make an estimate of how much they'll spend on weddings, making no calculation whatsoever about the industries that will have less money available to them because the gay couples, you know, have spent money on a big wedding reception instead of on some other thing they would have spent.
So the fact of the matter is, it comes down to, I mean, for those of us who are not economists, you are, but those of us who aren't, it doesn't generate any new wealth. It just redistributes the wealth that's already sitting out there in the system.
Exactly. It's just rearranging the discretionary spending from one pot to another. You know, that's really all it's doing. And that's true, you know, in state after state, and it's true in, you know, industry after industry. You know, I can see why the floral industry might want there to be more weddings in their state, but the economy as a whole couldn't care less about that particular thing, right? Because more money for that expenditure is less money for something else. So, you know, it's really, it's special pleading is really all it is. There's nothing, there's no substance behind this claim.
There's a track record here. Tell us a little bit about the Williams Institute that has done this study, made these predictions for the state of Illinois. They've done it elsewhere, as you just mentioned, and have their predictions been borne out?
Well, you know, that's interesting because in Iowa, you know, your neighbor there, you know, you guys are located in Illinois, right? And so, you know, one state over, there's Iowa, and Iowa, the Williams Institute did a study for them back in 2008, prior to when the right around the time that the Supreme Court over there redefined marriage in Iowa, and they predicted, you know, they predicted that there was going to be $160 million of new spending, or almost $50 million per year of new spending generated by gay weddings, and that's going to generate $8 million in sales tax revenue. Well, then, you know, and they're all excited, you know, just like this study for Illinois. Oh, it's going to be great, blah blah blah. Then 3 years later, they do a study of the same state in Iowa, 2011, and they're, you know, cheering, oh my gosh, we had all this wedding tourism, all these people came to Iowa for their weddings, so exciting, you know, and the numbers that they calculated for how much money was generated was about a quarter of what they had predicted 3 years earlier. You know, instead of $160 million, it was more like $12 million. The sales tax revenue was about a third of what they predicted in the first year. You know, so, and of course, in this you know, breathless report that they give in 2011, they make no mention of the fact that these numbers that they're purporting to be so excited about are a fraction of what they had predicted earlier. Make take no notice at all of the discrepancy between their forecast and the actual outcome. They're just, oh, this is so exciting, we got all this revenue. And the fact is, if you look at what they actually did, it's not like in the state of Iowa there was some big blast in economic activity and oh my goodness, where did all this sales tax revenue come from? Oh my goodness, it must be gay weddings, you know. No, that's not what it was. They just went and said, how many gay couples got married? Let's guess how much they spent, and therefore that must be their contribution to the sales tax revenue. In other words, it's just like a little calculation that they did that's not based on anything substantial at all, you know. And yet they have the nerve to go around and create another one of these reports for Iowa, for Illinois rather, and you know, and for Delaware and Rhode Island, everybody, Australia, they've even got one for Australia, you know, just claiming all these economic miracles are going to happen if you just remove the gender requirement from marriage, it's all going to be great, you know. So it's really quite something.
Staying on the subject of Illinois, many people would have thought that selling the idea of redefining marriage to the Illinois legislature, especially with the President Obama and Rahm Emanuel factor at work, would have been a slam dunk. Has it proved to be simple for them?
Well, you know what, Todd, that has been very interesting because, you know, when Obama was reelected in 2012 and all of these new Democrats were elected in various places, you know, in Illinois, they were saying, oh, gosh, we're going to get this done. You know, and maybe we'll even get it done in the lame duck session. Well, they haven't gotten it done, and they still don't have it done. And the session in Illinois will end at the end of this week. So if they don't get it done by Friday, they're not getting it done, right? And so it's extremely interesting that their gay marriage has not passed in Illinois. That's a very interesting fact because what it means is that there are Democrats who do not want to redefine marriage. And I would guess you know, from what I've seen from my visit to Illinois when I came to testify earlier this spring, it's the African-American pastors and the Hispanic pastors who are digging their heels in and saying, we don't agree with this, our constituents don't agree with this, and we're not budging, you know, we're not going to change our votes on this subject. So when I was there and testified in Illinois, I said something in my testimony. I said, you know, is this committee really prepared to go to the south side of Chicago in neighborhoods that have never seen a father? And are you really prepared to tell those people that mothers and fathers, that kids don't need a mother and father, that fathers don't matter? You're going to tell them that? And my colleagues, I'm there reading my testimony and so on, my colleagues are looking around the room, and they told me that a lot of the, you know, the sort of rich white liberal types who are in the room start snickering about that point, you know. You know, they think that's very funny. But when they looked further, you know, and saw the African-American legislators who were there, they're sitting there going, yeah, you know, they're nodding. They're nodding in agreement, you know, while the white legislators are smirking. So I think that tells me that you know, kind of struck a chord with them, that they know that fathers do matter, and that saying all you need is two moms, that's somehow going to solve things, the problems that they face in their community. They don't buy it. They're not buying that. So for that reason, plus the very deep religious convictions that people have, they're not going along quietly with this, you know, inevitable march of history. It's been quite interesting to watch from a distance.
With only about a minute here, we have a lot of listeners here in Illinois. What would you want to tell them about same-sex marriage?
Well, what I want to tell them is that you guys have some very effective family pro-family organizations over there. The Illinois Family Institute, for example, they're doing a great job holding the line. And the fact that you haven't heard anything about it means that gay marriage is not inevitable in your state. And every day that goes by that they don't pass it is really a victory for the pro-marriage forces and a kind of loss for the other side. Because I can tell you, Todd, if they had the votes for gay marriage, they would have called for the vote already. The fact is they don't have the votes. And if somebody changes their vote at this late date, you know, they've got a whole list of undecided legislators that they're working on. If somebody changes their vote at this late date, people are going to know exactly who it is. And nobody wants to be that guy. Nobody wants to be the guy that brings gay marriage to Illinois. They don't want to stick out like a sore thumb, which is what they will do. And that tells you right there that there is nothing inevitable about gay marriage.
Jen, we've got about 30 seconds. It's a big week for the Ruth Institute. Tell us about it.
Oh my gosh, yes. Tomorrow our students start arriving in from all over the Western Hemisphere to come to the It Takes a Family to Raise a Village conference. They'll be coming to San Diego, and we'll have a long weekend with them. And then on Sunday night, we'll have the Ruth Institute Gala Dinner and live auction, which is the very first time we've ever done anything like that. And we're filling that hall. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I ask for the prayers of everybody in the Issues Etc. world.
Folks, you can find out more about the Ruth Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Jennifer Oback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jen, thank you.
Thank you.
When we come back, Pastor Tom Eckstein joins us. We're going to talk about Christianity and the broad category of transgendered issues.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the Church Bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Can God save people any way He wants? Is Jesus the only way we know of? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. Journal titled, What God Cannot Do. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. Journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor John Fraser details his journey from the subjective introspection of decision theology to the objective saving work of Jesus. The online Issues Etc. Journal.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.